you can't have all these new processes and tools, but if you're not working with the people and if you're not truly understanding what they do now, it's going to be hard to help them go faster or do things differently.
Ackerschnacker, der Podcast des Cyber Innovation Hub der Bundeswehr.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Ackerschnacker. My name is Julian and I'm in here as a substitute for Simon, who usually hosts this show, but he is currently on naval training exercise, so it is my honor to host this show today. We are still on our summer tour. A few weeks ago, we spoke to AFWERX and SOFWERX, the innovation units of the United States Air Force and the Special Operation Forces. And today, I'm really glad to welcome Matt Denny from NavalX, the innovation unit of the US Navy. So, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Julian. How are you?
I'm fine, too. Thank you very much. I'm really, really glad this you had the time to talk to me. And for the next roughly 30 minutes, we are going to talk about you and about the works of NavalX. So maybe you could start off and tell our audience what is the purpose and the vision of NavalX.
Definitely. So again, I'm Matt Denny. A lot of people may know me as Mohawk Matt, so you can call me whatever you want. But yeah, NavalX's mission is, we are a super connector. So we were established about a year and a half ago, February 2019, by Secretary James Hondo Gertz, who is the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Research, Development, and Acquisition. What is unique about NavalX compared to like AFWERX, who you said you recently talked to, and SOFWERX, is our core mission is to connect. Where AFWERX and SOFWERX, they have a little bit different, where they are doing a lot of the innovation themselves. And we are doing innovation in different ways. A lot of what they focus on is kind of that innovation of technology. And we are kind of focusing on the innovation of culture in the sense of we are connecting the innovation that's already happening inside the Navy and the Marine Corps. In the Navy and the Marine Corps, we have what's called warfare centers and labs. This is where kind of these innovation or new technologies already being worked on. And NavalX is coming in to help connect them to each other, to our industry partners, to our academia partners, to active duty sailors and Marines, and kind of to look at problems differently in the sense of, hey, this is how we've been doing it for so many years, and some things work. Maybe there's different ways we can do it. And it's not a better or for worse thing. It's more just a different way. And in some ways, it's faster. Some ways, it's cheaper. Some ways, it's just different. And a lot of that comes in the space that we have. Our new NavalX headquarters here in the capital, Washington, D.C., is also one of our tech bridges. And that's kind of what we use. We have 12 tech bridges, which we'll talk to more later. But we use those as kind of those locations to help people come have a space to think differently. And everything we do here, like no one here wears a uniform. And it's kind of that check the uniform at the door, because it kind of helps change that mindset. So NavalX is really here to connect the Marines and sailors and the naval civilians to each other, to our industry partners who can help them go faster, cheaper, get the right technology in their hands, and also to the academia partners that we can partner with, and also to people like yourselves. There's great things we can learn from each other of our nations working together.
Absolutely. You've mentioned a lot of topics, but maybe we take a step back and discuss a little the beginning of NavalX. You mentioned that Secretary Gertz founded basically the NavalX about a year ago in February 2019, if I'm right. And what were the motivations for the Navy to say, okay, we really need our own innovation unit?
So a lot of it came from, and I don't speak for him, for Secretary Gertz, but as I've heard him say many, many times, is a lot of it came from, there's a lot of innovations or inventions or things going on inside the Navy and the Marine Corps, both on the military and the civilian side. But because the organization is so large, it's hard for everyone to know who exists or who to talk to. You don't always know. And any, that's not just the Navy. That's any organization, more than a couple hundred people. It's hard to know the people that work down the hall from you, let alone the people that work on the other side of the country or the world from you. And so it kind of started because of that need to help bridge those gaps and kind of remove some of those information stovepipes that just naturally occur in large organizations. And so really that connection piece, that is our first mission. We do some other things and we do training and we do, but it's all based on that connecting piece. It kind of came from that.
Interesting. So you mentioned basically there are also silos within the Navy that you are trying to break up, right?
Yes, and there's silos within any large organization, and it's not a fault of the people that work there. It's just the massive size. And if you are a team that focuses on artificial intelligence, well, that's what you see, and you become the expert at that. Well, there may be another team who's working on radar technology, but that you may have more in alignment than you think, but you may not talk to each other because your technology is a little bit different. So NavalX can come in a way of we're trying to pay attention to all the things that are going on so that they can just keep doing the great work they're doing. And then we can see the goods, the bads, and we say, oh, hey, this worked for these guys. Maybe it'll work for you. Or this failed over here for these team, but I think it might be a good thing for you guys to use. And so it's that awareness. It's not fixing things that are broken. It's more of just better connecting ourselves to each other and to our industry and academia partners.
As I mentioned before, we've been talking to FWorks and SoftWorks, and maybe you could also talk a little about your branch specificity. What is exactly the difference between FWorks, for example, and NavalX? Or to ask a little provocatively, why aren't you called NavWorks?
NavalX came from Naval Expeditions. The Department of the Navy also includes the Marine Corps, which is an expeditionary force. And so it just came from Naval Expeditions was the original name. And then it very quickly turned to NavalX. And when I say original name, I mean like before it launched. And so that's where kind of the X came from, was from Expeditions. So why are we not called NavWorks? I don't know. That wasn't a decision that I was making at the time. I was at a different unit at the time. So we're NavalX, and that's who we are.
You talked also about the methods you're doing. Could you tell a little bit about that? You're trying to make the Navy and the Marine Corps more agile. Who is your target group? Is it more the admirals and the generals, or is it more like every soldier?
I think it's both. If you're going to do it correctly and efficiently, it needs to come from both angles. If you just have the admiral and the general saying, hey, change, go faster, be agile, do some innovation. And if you're not doing the same thing on the soldier, well, for you guys, the soldiers, for us, it's Marines and sailors. If you're not doing that on their level, then they're just going to be like, okay, sir. And they're not going to know why or the reason behind it. They might do it because they're told to, but being told to do something and wanting to do something are two very different things. And so kind of coming from those two angles is we have teammates who are working with leadership and senior leaders across the Navy and the Marine Corps who are showing them some of the capabilities that are available, the agile scrums, the human-centered design, the different ways of thinking, the mindsets. But then we also have, on the other side, the actual Marines and sailors themselves. We have a team called the Centers for Adaptive Warfighting, the CAW, as we call it. And they are every month. It was more often before the COVID environment. But right now, they're teaching Marines and sailors how to become scrum masters and how to learn human-centered design. And so they're instilling these at the lower echelon levels because they're going to be the future senior leaders. And so if you only spoke to the senior leaders, well, they may retire in 5-10 years. So you kind of have to go that both angle and get the support of the top level. Say, hey, we like this idea and we want to help change and do some of these things differently. But you have to start teaching them at the lower level because they're going to become the top level eventually.
Why does a regular Marine or the regular sailor need to know agile methods like Scrum Master, for example? Could you give us an insight for that?
The ways of the military and any large organization is we've been doing things the same ways for a long time. And things like Scrum or human-centered design or lean startup, those are newer to the military, but they've been around industry world and the private world for about 10, 15 years. And so it's bringing those current things that are being used everywhere else in the world in the private sector into the military environment. And it's not saying that you can't do your job without Scrum. Like, Scrum's not going to save your life, but it may make you save some money and it may help you save some time. And that's the beauty of what we do at NavalX, is we're not forcing anyone to do anything. We're kind of evangelists and kind of sharing the information, but it's self-selected. It's, there may be admirals and generals somewhere saying, go take this training with NavalX, but we're not saying that. We're just saying, hey, this is it. Here's some use case studies, who Marines who have tried it. In one case, I know a Marine at he was at Motor T Unit, which is vehicles and stuff. And for them, it increased. He took one of the classes kind of on accident because someone told him, his friend told him to take it with him, and it increased their productivity by like 50-60%. And it wasn't that they were like changing the world. It was just changing their mindset a little bit and showing them a different way to track work and to identify what they actually have to do. Because that's what a lot of Scrum actually does, is it does put things into sprints and things like that, but it helps you identify how much work you actually have for your team. And that's one of the big things. And I think that's not just the military, as humans in general, is we kind of overtask ourselves. It takes me 5 minutes. No problem. I got that. But really it takes them like 5 hours, but to them 5 hours feels like 5 minutes. So it's helping Marines and sailors kind of look at things differently and help self-identify how much time we have and how much we can get done at work.
It's a really interesting point. I think you're empowering Marines and the sailors to do it differently. And that's quite interesting, because we also have this in our vision statement, which is empowering innovation in defense. Could you tell us a little bit more about how the workshops to teach them agile methods looks like?
They've changed. They are virtual now. The concept is still very similar. So when the workshop started, I'll kind of start with a human-centered design. So what we do, we really focus on isn't doing it for them, it's teaching them how to do it. The human-centered design is a two-day course. And that one, that first day, we actually have probably 10 to 15 mid-level, mid to senior level Marines in their area. We teach them how to apply all these practices and how to think differently and how to work through some of these exercises and problem solving. And then the next day, they actually teach the entire day. So immediately, like traditional courses, you may take a course and learn for like a whole week, and then you go back and you forget it, or you try to teach some of your team what you learned, and you'll get some of it, but not all of it. Whereas something different that we do for Centers for Adaptive Warfighting is we apply it immediately. And so the next day, a new set of Marines or sailors, they come in and they are teaching them, and the instructors just kind of stand back and just kind of observe and guide if needed. But the people that just learned it on day one are teaching it on day two. And we found that that helps instill it quicker, so they can go take that and immediately go apply it. And what's really great is we don't work on like fake problems. We actually, when they come to the courses, we have them bring things, challenges that they're currently working on, or their real life, that we ask them to tell us about what's going on in their units. When they're done with the course, whether it be human-centered design or the military Scrum Master, they're actually leaving with solutions to problems that they came with. They're learning the skills and they're solving some things that they were facing before.
Could you give us a little bit more background knowledge? What is the difference between the human-centered design and the Scrum Master program?
Human-centered design is more focused on problem framing, how you look at what's going on, in the sense of where human-centered design comes with a lot of sticky notes all over the walls. And it's usually a scattered of sticky notes everywhere. It kind of looks like someone just took a shotgun and shotgun sticky notes all over the walls. There is a purpose and a method to the madness. And it really goes through thinking differently. And one of the examples is if you were to tell someone, hey, I want you to come up with a solution or I want you to fix this, or I want you to do this. As a human, we kind of think we go to the solution first. We go to that, okay, oh yeah, I can fix it with this, fix this hole. Okay, I'm going to go put tape over it, or I'm going to go put some putty in it, or I'm going to do that. So what we do with human-centered design is, well, hang on, let's figure out why the hole is there. Should we be fixing it? Maybe we need to make the hole bigger. Maybe we don't understand the purpose of it. And so it really, before you go to a solution, it strips it down to why you're trying to do something. What's the purpose of doing it? Are we doing it because we were told to and we got to work real fast and okay, yes, sir, okay. Or are we doing it because we understand what the actual end goal is? And that's where a lot of human-centered design comes in, is stripping it down to the why before you get to the actual result or the solution, and then also thinking very differently than traditional. So there's a lot of out-of-box thinking methods. I mean, I could talk for hours on some of those. And then the military scrum master, which really is just agile scrum master. Of course, you know, Marines, we gotta be more hardcore. So we call it military scrum master to make it sound more awesome. It's the same training that you would get as agile scrum master out in the private sector. We actually had folks from the private sector help design the course. But that scrum, agile scrum, is more focused on now you know what you're trying to do. Now they actually focus on how to bucket your work and how to actually put your tasks into buckets and into sprints and to put your, I've got so much work this week, I don't know what to do, I'm so stressed. And it helps you kind of refine those on both identifying how much time you actually have. A lot of people don't realize that 9 hours of a workday isn't really 9 hours of work. It's you go to the bathroom, you eat lunch, you talk to your friends, you walk around, you take breaks. And so it can break down how much time you actually have doing things and the complexity that things take. And so we kind of rate things and score things. And then it kind of helps you decide, okay, we're going to put this into bite-sizable chunks. Kind of that whole, the best way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. If you did the whole thing at once, you wouldn't be able to do it. The Agile Scrum helps you put things into more manageable buckets. And it also, part of the big Agile piece, it also creates that fluid going back method of you're always iterating. And Agile kind of came from the development world where they used to follow waterfall, which was start here, end here, don't talk to anybody in between. Agile is start here, okay, how are we doing here? Okay, let's change. Let's go back a little bit. Let's change here and then go here and then let's change a little bit. And so it's that iterative, always changing process. And even as a digress a little bit, but even as an agility cell, agile can be a buzzword. And everyone's like, oh, agile, give me some of that agile. I need some agileness or some agile scrum. But agile is really just being agility, which is really just being flexible.
This is a very interesting point. Something I observed also in large civilian corporates is that C-level often talks about agility, but every employee feels that actually they are cumbersome and not very agile. And there is this great analogy I like, which is the speedboat, the agile small business unit able to react real quickly to different situations, and the tanker, which is very, there is a lot of inertia. It takes a while to accelerate, to decelerate, and so on. How do you tackle the issue that there is a difference between agility as an empty phrase and agility that really has an impact in the corporate or the entity?
That's the ever-ending question of how do I take agile and give me some of that agility and actually apply it? And I think a lot of it is, whether it's admitted or not, is culture. You can't have all these new processes and tools. A lot of people will bring technology and tools in and say, hey, this tool will make you more agile or give you agility. But if you're not working with the people, one of my passions is the human side, that user-centered. If you're not truly understanding what they do now, it's going to be hard to help them go faster or do things differently. If you just force it on them, some may go, and you may get some folks that shift and become a little bit more agile and flexible, but that may not last. They may only do it because you told them to. But if you do it from an angle of education and kind of empowering, as you said earlier, where you're teaching them that there are other ways to do things, you don't have to do them this way forever, but maybe try it. If it doesn't work, okay. And that's what's really great about the leadership that we've followed under Secretary Gertz, is he actually doesn't direct what we do every day. He says, okay, go forward this, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, do something different. And that's the whole mindset about behind agility and being agile. And that can be really hard to accept, though. If you've been doing the same thing for 20 years, doing something differently, that could be very threatening. And that could feel like you're trying to take my job away. I think a lot of it really comes to that core of that empathy side of understanding who your audience is and what they currently do before you just go and try to change them or make them be flexible. Maybe some people don't need flexibility in their work because it has to be rigid to get through a process or buy something. But some other things can. Other things can flex a little bit and shift a little bit.
This also refers to what you said earlier. You need this human-centered design to really get to know why the process is like it is and to understand why people are doing what they do, to make them voluntarily use the agile methods, right?
Yes.
Nice. So could you also tell us a little bit more about the scalability? What is the reach of the workshops? Is it a scalable process? Is it like you can now, every sailor that took part on your workshops is now some kind of a multiplicator within their units? Or is it centralized that you are the sole entity that does these workshops?
No, we do not want to be the sole entity that does these workshops. That is not scalable, definitely. And what's really beautiful behind it is when this started a year ago, the two Marines that really took this and ran with it, it has grown from what it was, just some guys in a gym. That's the room they had available with some sticky notes on the walls in one location. And now it's in three locations. Well, it was in three physical locations. Now it's virtually. So it's even scaling even farther. But the beauty behind it is what happens is because we're going in and teaching them how to do it instead of doing it for, like if you go and do something for someone, they're just going to do it once or you're going to help them and then they're going to move on. It's the teaching someone how to fish or giving them a fish kind of thing. And so because we're teaching them how and kind of getting them excited and almost infecting them with the agility and infecting them with these new methods, they go back and share this, and there's even some efforts happening right now to scale it to past Marine sailors and civilians, almost a franchise model, where if they want to start this up at their unit or if they change units, as we do often in the military, I'm stationed here in South Carolina now, and I'm going to move to Japan. Well, great. If you want to stand up a new team that teaches courses there, fantastic. We're here to help you do that. We want it to go as spread as wide and fast as possible. We're not trying to limit it at all. All we're doing is creating that and empowering that structure. These are what you can follow and then help teach those to the future instructors. And it also helps them not only learn these skills, but all helps them learn more than the agility skills and the agile skills. It also helps them learn how to teach and how to talk differently to folks or present to give presentations and stuff. So no, we're definitely not trying to corner the market and you must come to Naval X and give us three knocks on the door and $12. That's not what we're trying to do at all. We want this to scale, and we have a headquarters team for Centers for Adaptive Warfighting who's focusing on the scalability of that right now.
What hit my mind earlier was when you said they came up with the idea in a gym, and I thought where it has to be for a good Marine, right? It's not a bar, yeah. Like, I don't know, a lot of startup stories begin with, it's the gym in the Marine Corps. Very, very nice touch.
It's wherever we are. I've seen these classes in a hallway. I saw this, one of the classes in the Pentagon, in the hallway. Like, most people would, like, oh, we need an actual classroom, we need this. Like, no, it's just wherever it happens, and that's what we have. We're Marines, yeah. We adapt to whatever we have.
Be agile.
Yeah.
Is your most exciting impression you had in your journey with Naval X?
Probably the most exciting and what I really love and what I think makes us really unique at Naval X is the people I get to work with, because like myself, I am not a full-time Naval X employee like forever. We operate more like a military unit where we are actually always rotating. Like I was on a one-year rotation. I recently got that extended to 2 years. And I come from a certain part or asset of the Navy that does things very specific to that part. And then I've got teammates who are engineers from a different side of the Navy. And we all kind of come rotation. So it's not like Naval X isn't a corporation that's just, hey, we're consultants and we're going to solve your problems for you. Or we're going to help you learn this. We're actually coming from the workforce ourselves. And we have active duty sailors and Marines and civilians on the team that are coming from the units that we're also helping. And so we get a very unique perspective and interaction. And I just love, for me, the reward at the end of the day is we had, every time we do a course or an event, we always get feedback. And a lot of people, they'll do surveys and nobody fills out the survey. And if they do the survey, nobody reads the survey, right? So we just do it quick and agile with sticky notes. Every event we do, whether it's a course, whether it's a mixer, whether it's whatever, we always bust out the sticky notes, say, hey, tell us what we can do better, because we're always trying to get better. And a Marine wrote on one of the sticky notes, I'll never forget it, said, I finally feel like I have a voice. That is what we are here to do at Naval X. We are here to connect, and that is a lot of what I do as Mohawk Matt and Matt Denny is actually Connect, and I give the workforce a microphone and a voice to voice their problems or voice their ideas. There's a lot of ideas out there. The people in the Pentagon aren't all the ones with the good ideas. There's ideas everywhere. So let's pull those out from everywhere. And so I just love that we are here to just connect, and it excites me every day.
It's a great acknowledgement, both for your work and also for the workforce itself, which are, as I understand it, also part of your Superconnector strategy. Maybe we could talk about what are these tech bridges, who are you connecting with whom, and where are they?
So the tech bridges kind of started with, hey, we're doing a lot of this connection inside the Navy and the Marine Corps and civilian world, but how do we better partner with our industry and partner with academia and partner with each other in geographically different locations? We now have 12 tech bridges, and the tech bridges are located in locations all across the United States. And there's more being created as we speak. That'll be announced in a few weeks. Those locations there, we've got them scattered all over the United States. What's really great is the tech bridges, they create that ecosystem, and they build that relationship of industry, academia, government. A lot of the times, any organization working with any military in the world can be difficult because there's a lot of barriers of entry, both to from a contract perspective and work actually getting a contract, and also from a physical location perspective. The space I'm in right now, our Naval X headquarters, is one of the Tech Bridge locations for the Capital Region in DC. And we are not on base. We are an offsite location. We're near a metro public transportation. It's actually pretty easy to get here versus a company trying to go to a base and you got to get base access, or try to go out to a ship and work with sailors on a ship or Marines in the field can be a lot more difficult. Here, we can bring all of those parties here, and we can have those collaborations and connections a little bit easier and outside of their normal working environments. One of the great things about Tech Bridges too is they're not all focused on the same technology area. They're off base, but they stem from a base or a naval unit in a way. They are actually focus area is whatever that base's focus area is. And so there's a Tech Bridge in Charleston, South Carolina at NAVWAR, which is Naval Warfare Systems Command. And they focus on information technology, so everything IT digital related. So their tech bridge is really working with industry partners who are in the IT fields. We've got a tech bridge in Rhode Island at Naval Undersea Warfare Center Newport, which their specialty is submarines. And so they are working with industry partners and college and academia partners who are focused on undersea and water. And so they're really creating those ecosystems, not just geographically, but also around that technology.
You also talk about the barriers that come with silos. And also we all earlier talked about artifacts like a uniform. And you told me that puts up these barriers. How do you tackle these barriers, and how do you want to break them in and to really make a connection with the corporates on a eye to eye level?
Those barriers, that's what's great about, I love what we do at Naval X, is we're not just focusing on one thing. Those barriers can be mental. And that's where a lot of the uniform comes in. If your organization comes to us, hey, we're kind of struggling, we're just hitting a roadblock, we want to think differently. And it's usually like a general or an admiral of sorts that comes to us and says this. Well, if I was to bring that general or that admiral into Naval X with their team in uniform, then everyone's just going to sit there and do whatever the general says, because that's what they're used to doing. And so if the general puts a sticky note on the wall that says this, they're probably going to put the sticky note on the wall that says the same thing. So by stripping the uniform down and saying, hey, let's come in civilian attire, let's use first names, not rank, they still know who that person is. But doing those little things really strips that mental barrier of, hey, I have a voice. I can actually voice my concerns or my thoughts or my ideas without worrying about getting yelled at or in trouble or breaking chain of command. So really, that uniform really, it also helps people relax. In any military, we're kind of rigid organizations in the sense of yes, sir, no, sir. We kind of respond. But if we're using first names, hey, Kyle, hey, Frank, what's going on? And there's still a level of respect that has to occur, of course, but allowing us to do that and remove some of that mental barrier really gets the ideas flowing and those thoughts flowing and lets people feel that they can be heard. That's kind of the mental side. That physical side is also, if you're sitting on base, or because we're in DC, we deal with the Pentagon a lot. If you're in the Pentagon or on base every day, you're around your team. This is how you do everything. And you've been doing the same things for however long. Well, it's hard to change your mindset if you're in the conference room that you also do everything else in. And so physically getting out of that location, whether it's coming to here to our Naval X or to another offsite location, physically changing your spot actually helps you remove one of those barriers of, oh, it's okay to think differently because I'm not there, or it's okay to think differently because I'm in a different location.
I've got two more small questions because we are running a little out of time. And speech can also be a kind of barrier. And you talked about think differently. Is the similarity to the Apple slogan think different on purpose?
No, it's just think differently is just a good thing to have. And it really brings in, when I go to think differently, it really stems from diversity of thought. There's been a lot of talk on diversity of people, but it's also diversity of thought. It's more than just diversity of skin color or language or ethnicity or race. It's also people that think differently. If Naval X was a team of 12 engineers, then we would all think like engineers. We have artists, we have engineers, we have folks that have college degrees, we have folks that don't have college degrees. We have people that are pilots. We have an F-18 pilot on the team. And so by nature, they think differently. So it's not just telling people to think differently. It's actually bringing the right people around and on the teams that actually do by nature think different. Someone who has had money their entire life may not know how to budget. Somebody that grew up poor, I had to scrape for everything they had. Once they get money, they probably will keep it because they've been able to budget their whole life. It's bringing those people together and bringing those. One of the great things actually that happened a few weeks ago is we were solving a problem downstairs. Our entire team, we were kind of stumped. And I was like, I'm going to get some air, walk around. And the facility that we're in, we have a lot of interns that work next door on something different. And one of them is 16 years old. And so I was just like, I walked up to him. I was like, hey, Owen, what are your thoughts? When you're solving military problems or when you're solving business problems, most people don't go to a 16-year-old. I was getting a drink and he was nearby, so I was just like, whatever. And he actually solved our problem. His idea is now implemented in our facility. It's bringing that diversity of thought and people that think very different from you and just accepting ideas from anyone.
Thanks. I think this statement for diversity is a very good ending point for our talk. Thank you very much. One really brief answer to the last question. If you have three wishes for the Navy, for you personally, or for the world, I don't know, what would these wishes be?
One wish for me personally would be that I don't lose my hair, so I keep having a mohawk because I think it's fantastic. And I mean, it plays into thinking different, being different. Another would be for the Navy, the Marine Corps is one of mine, is that we have funding and the leadership support to continue doing innovation efforts like this. Naval X doesn't always have to exist, but the idea of innovation does. If we go backwards, that's scary. For the world, I wish we can mentally become more together, no matter what we're facing. Kindness and friendship can be had at any level, no matter what pandemic we're facing or war we're facing or whatever. So for me, I just wish we all got along better.
And here we are back at diversity. Thank you very much, Matt, for your time and this really great insights you gave to me personally and to our audience as well. I really want to thank you and have a nice day.
Welcome. Thank you, Julian. It's been really fun having here. And if you guys want to learn about Naval X, please reach out to me. I'll make sure you guys have the information for your audience. And thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I saw great synergies. Maybe we can work on some projects together in the future.
Oh, definitely. I can come over and shave a mohawk if you need me to.
Oh, no, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Julian.
Bye. Have a nice day.
See ya.
Das war der Ackerschnacker. Abonnieren auf ackerschnacker.info.